DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long. We're going to go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line, and we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinking Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
You got it, my friend. How are you guys?
Doing great, doing great. Mark, right off the bat, I'll ask you about the 49ers who, man, this seems to be a repeat scenario from a year ago. All the injuries, George Kittle down at least 4 weeks with the hamstring injury, and then all of a sudden now Brock Purdy's got a shoulder and a turf toe injury. I would say he's probably questionable. Just by the way the line moved from 6.5 to 4.5, I think Vegas figures we're going to see Mac Jones. They didn't do the Saints any favor when they cut Jake Moody. I mean, Jake is a guy, third-round pick, didn't work out at kicker, and then they bring in Eddie Pinheiro. And Eddie's had some success, certainly, in the NFL, kicking with the Panthers. But this is a team sort of beat up. We saw McCaffrey leave a couple times. Trent Williams went to the tent. Mark, it's almost like this. We watched this same movie last year with the 49ers. The Saints legitimately got a shot this week. Legitimate with all the injuries the 49ers have.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that and why they have, you know, consistently been so injured. Because at some point you got to look at what you're doing, the way you're working, the way you're, you know, the way you're operating as a franchise. You know, I know here in Denver, and you guys are very familiar, obviously, there in New Orleans with Sean Payton. But that's one of the things Sean talks about all the time. Denver went from one of the most injured teams in football before Sean got there to one of the least injured teams the last 2 years under Sean. So there's something to the way you train, the way you prepare, the way you practice. There's something to it. Now, some of it is just, you know, good fortune, but certainly in San Francisco, there's got to be something going on there that just is not, you know, just not keeping guys healthy for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but it certainly seems that way.
Last week, you did Jacksonville and Carolina, and we talked a little bit about this. You know, Jacksonville's one of those teams I wouldn't sleep too much on. They got some talent there, and, Trevor Lawrence, I think, will certainly benefit with Leon Cohen. But, man, their defense got after the Panthers Sunday, really got after them.
Yeah, no question. And then, you know, I think the one big question mark is Bryce Young really an NFL quarterback? And, you know, we can sit there, and I talked about this because it's a storyline, right? Last year, the way he finished the season, 7 TDs, no interceptions the last 3 games, 1-2 of the last 3, and, you know, played Kansas City in there and played him pretty tough. And you're looking at that going, oh, okay, you know what? I mean, you know, like maybe he's turned the corner. And then yesterday, just like the last, the other two times the season starters, he was in New Orleans last year. Remember how bad that was? I called that game in New Orleans, and I called this game, and he's just, I mean, it was bad. But it's not just him. It's other guys. Like, Leggett was just a no-show. Like, I mean, he made some – he refused to block a couple times. It was just, like, it's one of those things, like, listen, you guys as a franchise, and you're rebuilding your roster, you don't have the room for error. You can't make mistakes, right? You don't have enough talent to overcome mistakes like that. And it was consistent, not only the quarterback, but other players as well making those mistakes. And I'm 100% with you on Jacksonville, man. I picked them. When I started looking at the preseason tape, I changed my pick from Houston to Jacksonville to win that division because what I saw on tape was like, wow. And I got confirmation on practice. I'll tell you one thing, Tony Boselli, now the executive vice president of football operations, and he just flat out said, man, like, I questioned the toughness and our ability to respond to, over the last few years, our ability to respond to adversity. And he goes, that's my number one question. I want tough dudes that are smart. So free agency, we didn't go after the, you know, the top guys on the list, you know, the top most. We went after really good football players who are tough, hard-nosed guys who are smart and can communicate. And I think you saw that on Sunday. I think you saw what I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be. And it started with their head coach on the first drive from his own 37-yard line going for it on fourth down and two. I mean, you know, you want to talk about forget Liam Cohen. It's Liam Cojones. That dude, like, that's a gutsy call.
Mark, I don't know if you could have asked for any better. You see the quarterback play in week one. Okay, the first game, Dak Prescott couldn't have played any better than what he did Thursday night. Now, CeeDee Lamb's got to make some of those catches. Jalen Hurts, what he did, I think he's underrated because they know what they can do with him. And it's nothing that jumps out at you. But he's a winner. There is something about that. Then Justin Herbert, well, we watched him Friday night go up against Mahomes. And then throughout the day, Justin Fields, that was the biggest surprise for me all day long to see what he did against that defense of the Steelers. I thought Aaron Rodgers played well, and we saw it throughout the day. And then Sunday night, okay, Lamar Jackson was out of this world. And then Josh Allen was, hey, hold my beer for just a second. I'm going to show you something here of what I got. You could not have asked if you the NFL to watch what you watched in week one and in the fourth quarter of J.J. McCarthy, of what he did last night against the Bears, who would look as though they had him. They had him by the teriyaki for three quarters. And he comes in there in the fourth quarter, lights it up, and then he uses his legs to get a score. This is what the NFL wants, to see that.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to get any argument from me. And that Baltimore game, you know, it's the criticism I've had with Baltimore over the course of the years is they have just dominated the regular season and then get into the playoffs and or get into tight situations and just completely lose their identity. You know, it's really interesting. They've got a 40-25 lead and the Buffalo Bills score to make it, you know, however it went down. But the very first play of the game it's 40-25, fourth quarter, 4 minutes, right? They get the ball, they scramble, it's our guy Derrick Henry fumbles. And they get the, you know, it's Ed Oliver that punches it out. They get the ball. They go into score to make it, what, 40-38, right? And, you know, the first play of that drive, was a, a scramble by Lamar Jackson. And he gets 13 yards. And so then you fumble. They score. They make it 40-38. And all of a sudden, what do? You hand it to Derrick Henry. I'm all for that, right? It's like 3.5 yards. Then you run a jet sweep. So you're taking a receiver who doesn't run, you know, isn't used to running in traffic, and you're giving him the jet sweep to capture the edge into the sideline, and you know you got to stop, right? You know you got to fall down. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you guys doing? And then Lamar drops back. And so – you took it out of number eight's hands and you never gave him an opportunity to run the ball, you know, a run pass option, whatever. I looked at that and then you end up punting. I looked at that drive and like, what are we doing? What are you doing if you're the Baltimore Ravens? And, you know, it gets into those points where to me, you just kind of lose your identity trying to trick people instead of just bludgeoning people. Like, I don't understand that because that's who they are as, you know, as a football team. I don't understand that aspect of coaching. So it just, that stuff blows me away.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Insider Calls with Mark Slareff are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Charlie?
You know, Mark, I want to look a little bit ahead to week two here. The Chargers and the Raiders game on Monday Night Football has instantly become way more intriguing after what we saw in week one. Like, the Chargers go to Brazil and pick up a huge win over the Chiefs, where I think a lot of people were maybe a little bit down on them after the Rashawn Slater news, where he signs that mega deal at left tackle and then he gets injured immediately out for the season. They move Joe Alt over to left tackle, and you can kind of understand why Coach Harbaugh was talking about how they view offensive linemen as weapons when they took him fifth overall a couple years back. And then the Raiders in their new era with Pete Carroll. Geno Smith had an awesome debut against the Patriots and Mike Vrabel's debut there as well. So the Raiders and the Chargers, two teams in the AFC West, maybe there's a power balance shift here. I don't want to kind of overstate myself because, you know, the Chiefs still have Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. But starting off 0-1 and then all these other three teams in the division start 1-0 and those two teams going at it on Monday night.
Yeah, the Chiefs are in last place. Let that sink in. Because it sounds great to me. It sounds awesome. You know what? What the Chargers did Friday night against the Chiefs, the way they orchestrated and operated, I thought Justin Herbert looked exceptional in that game. He made some throws in that game that were just like otherworldly type throws. He showed some toughness, you know, and ultimately, you know, we keep looking at the Chargers, and, you know, the old kind of adage for me is the Chargers are going to Chargers. They're going to find a way, you know, to beat the Chargers and lose. And I thought that was a big time performance by the Chargers. I thought it was a big time performance by Justin Herbert. I thought, man, he looked phenomenal. And so now they're going to face the Raiders. And as you mentioned, the Raiders look pretty good. I will tell you this about Pete Carroll. It's important to have people that believe in you. And one thing, when Pete Carroll was coaching Seattle and, you know, and Geno Smith went over there, man, Pete Carroll raved. I sat for 15 minutes on the field pregame with Pete. They were playing in San Francisco, and he just raved about Geno Smith and what Geno Smith brought and his ability and his arm talent, his ability to spin the ball. And you can see how that relationship has continued to evolve. Geno was super sharp against the Patriots. They get that victory. That's a great game. This is a great, I mean, the Broncos defense was exceptional, just exceptional. And offensively, Bo Nix played, you know, a way below average game. And they made some mistakes on the offensive side of the ball. But listen, if they start to kind of progress like they did last year toward the end of the season with Bo Nix, the Broncos clearly, to me, have the best defense in that division. I mean, this thing is going to be a race, just an unbelievable race in the AFC West.
Mark, I was talking to Coach Ogeron the other day, and he was laughing about, man, all these people talking about Pete Carroll can't coach no more. He said, hey, I'm just telling you, he might be 74, but he got the mind of a 44-year-old. He can still coach and get teams ready. He said, I just hope you know, the right spot's there, and Geno can be the trigger man for him. And we saw with Geno, and, you know, eventually Ashton Jeanty is going to be a much bigger part of that attack offensively running the football.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think I know one thing about Mike Vrabel is, like, it's a badge of honor. You're not going to run it against us, you know, and that's something that Vrabel believes in. And you know, he used all his assets to shut down that run game, and they did it, but Geno Smith got him over the top. And so, like I'm 100% with that thought process on Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll can coach. Pete Carroll creates an environment of you know, just physicality, hard-nosed, but having fun and competition. And competing is fun, man. And he takes that environment, you know, that hard-nosed kind of competition environment, and he gets his players to adhere to that and practice that way and meet that way and compete that way. And it certainly is infectious, and it certainly rubs off on their football team when it comes to game day. Like, that's the whole thing. You know, he's got themes every day. Today's competition Wednesday. Today's this, that, the other. And it's the way they practice. I did preseason game for them 2 years ago or so, and I just spent like 3 days around the facility, and you know, being part of the kind of just the fabric of the facility, as it of the cafeteria. I was working out in the weight room. I was floating around, just checking it out. Everything is about competing. And I think it's one of the reasons you'll see the Raiders take a big step forward under Pete Carroll.
Mark, last question for you. We saw the Packers. I mean, and they look – that game wasn't close against the Lions. They bludgeoned them. They got after them on both sides of the football, moving people off the line of scrimmage. Jordan Love, who had missed a big part of the preseason because of the left thumb injury, which got operated on. But, man, they look really, really good. And for the Lions, the strength of their team had always been their offensive line. But their interior line, you lose Ragnar, you have some pieces moving there. It didn't look the same, and you could tell. That's exactly where the Packers attacked them. That deal is, prove it to me that those guys are as good as what you used to have, and it wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't. The other thing is they got away from their two-back sets, their 21-pony personnel, where they both have Gibbs and Montgomery on the field at the same time and using those guys to complement one another. And I thought they got away from a lot of that they had a lot of success with the year before. And you're right about the offensive line. And on the flip side of that, man, I mean, in that first half, Love just stood back in the pocket and he had all day to throw the ball. And those young rookie receivers and that young tight end, man, they cut the Detroit Lions up. And the Lions had no answer, and they had no pressure on Jordan Love. And Jordan Love looked sharp. And then flip it on the defensive side of the ball. And how about Micah Parsons being a part-time player, rushing the edge, keeping him fresh? I don't know what the mixture was, but whatever it was, man, that dude was flying around trying to prove that the Packers made a great decision, and he did, because every time he was on the field, man, my antenna went off. Like, he was just all over the place, which is so much fun to watch. So, you know, good for the Green Bay Packers. As soon as I got my Micah Parsons, I changed my pick from Detroit winning that division to the Packers winning that division, and I'm telling you what, the Packers look like a dominant football team.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love when you're on. Great insights, and you get to the point with it. So we thank you so much for joining us each and every Tuesday.
You got it, guys. Be well.
Thanks, Mark.
All righty. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.